Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Is it time to put aside partisan politics and work together to flatten the curve of coronavirus? Or is it time to hold leaders accountable for every word and action that impacts America's response and American lives? Plus, how are people parenting and grandparenting and worshiping during social isolation? SDPB's Kevin Wooster joins us with his thoughts this week. You can find his work on our website, sdpb.org/Wooster. Hey, Kevin, welcome.
It's great to be back. I wish we were talking about the common cold instead of the coronavirus.
That's right. All right. So you were reaching out to people and asking them things recently on social media, from should I go to the gym or how do you feel? Is this okay? Is that okay? And also, how should we be talking about this? And you got some pretty dynamic responses. Needless to say, not everyone agrees on the answers to those questions.
Things got a little heated a little bit when I did something. One of the most recent ones was, I think it was on Twitter, asking could we just stop trashing Trump on the one side and stop denying the realities of the virus on the other and unite as Americans to fight this common enemy. And a lot of people liked it, but, you know, there were some pretty profound disagreements. And, you know, one of the things people said was, and in some cases turned it on me, you have a bit of a platform. It's your responsibility to call this president out. We don't ever stop. He's a this, he's a that. And, you know, I'm not going to stop calling him names until he stops calling other people names. And So we went in that direction a little bit. But I still maintain that this is a time that, yeah, I'm not comfortable with him calling the coronavirus the Chinese virus. I wish he wouldn't do that. You can argue that it's accurate, but there's another intent, and it also just diminishes the conversation, and that diminishes what we get done, I think, as people.
Distracting.
And that's kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. What about, Kevin, I think about you often and want to ask you questions, but I try not to send you text messages at 9 o'clock at night when CNN is on and I'm watching.
Send them all the time. Anytime.
But one of the things I noticed, especially, national media, we're talking about here, people like Anderson Cooper and Sanjay Gupta, who are talking to Anthony Fauci and other members of the task force and really being specific about, hey, the president said this and then you said this. Was the president lying? Was the president wrong? And really trying to disagree with it, really trying to force him and others in the task force to stand up and contradict the president. How do you sort of feel about that journalistic tactic? Not to ask questions of the president himself, but of the people who are making the policy. Is that a distraction?
And I've kind of got another blog thing kind of lined up on that point that's written about the tremendous control, I think President Trump said Sunday, maybe it was, we have tremendous control over the virus. And just in a matter of minutes at the same news conference, Fauci got up and said, yeah, this thing's going to get a lot worse.
Right. Yeah. No, we don't. Yeah.
And the thing about it is, what I would tell him is, when you're in those situations, and I think I've written this in this draft, if you're a reporter, is it really worth your while? Is it really worth the time? Is it worth the energy to try and drag, hey, isn't the president wrong on this, or didn't he lie on this, out of people that really don't want to get into that? They would rather just talk about reality. And I think in that regard, that's a perfect example for me. CNN lost their mind over him saying that we had tremendous control. And it went on to the next day. I mean, breaking news, president says the tremendous control over virus as infections spread. You know, that was the breaking news thing. And that just flashed and flashed and flashed. Meanwhile, he talked about what we were needing to do to try and get tests out. He was talking about the economic package. He was talking about all kinds of things that, to me, got secondary focus, because they were so busy trying to point out that he was either wrong or lying or clueless or whatever. And, oh my gosh, it's been 3 years. Don't we know that? I mean, that he sometimes just talks and it doesn't mean anything. He doesn't know what he's talking about, or says things that are wrong intentionally or not intentionally.
Yeah. I think it was producer Josh Heyer yesterday who said, you know, your banner can only get so red, and your font can only get so bold. And they said, how do you amp up the breaking news, the way that they communicate that response makes a difference. There's some accountability there for news organizations to handle this responsibly as well.
There is, especially in this case, since moments after President Trump said that about tremendous control, The expert said, yeah, no, we don't. And the good news about that is, to me, is people are contradicting him like that all the time, the health experts, even sometimes people on his old staff. And apparently there's not any consequences for it. So I'm glad of that, but at least, you know, these people aren't getting fired or run off or muzzled. They're continuing to speak the truth and the facts, even when he wanders into Never Never Land.
Let's talk a little bit in our remaining 2 minutes about what it's like to be a grandparent when schools are closed and you are on the category who should be self-isolating. The grandkids leaving you alone?
I'm 68. Stay away from me. I'm in the vulnerable category. And that's what we were thinking last Saturday morning when we were caring for a sick 8-month-old. My stepdaughter's baby, a little girl, is sick. And what is that letter thing that they get in the lungs, the S thing that babies get? I can't think of it right now. But it's a lung disorder. And
RSV, RSV.
Big in the news right now. But she's got to work. And she needs that paycheck, and she didn't have daycare. She couldn't arrange daycare. So what do you do? Well, you be a grandpa first in a 68-year-old vulnerable, senior citizen, quote-unquote, second. And I bet Mary did most of the direct care. I was a little flightier about it. But we had this, And then we had a Duffy, her kids and grandkids. We have some of them over for St. Pat's Day, which she always has done for corned beef and cabbage, and one that was not feeling well was told not to come, and the rest of his family was not invited. Yeah. But, there's a little coughing going on in one of the kids and a little sanitizing afterwards, but was it reckless or grandparenting? That's the question.
Maybe it's reckless grandparenting or grandparenting recklessly. Grandparenting. I don't know. Yeah. Kevin Wooster, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
All right. See ya.